I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. I'm David Reed. This is Merrick Larwood.
Happy summertime.
Happy summertime to everybody. We're doing slightly shorter podcasts for the next few weeks because we're away on holiday. Imagine this like a really, really long answer phone message.
We're not away on holiday, though. We're working.
Yeah, but, you know.
This is the only time of year I've got any work. I know we do things is when it's nice weather.
It's like anti-school.
Yeah.
Where we work for one long period in the middle of the year.
On the hottest day of the year, well, basically my job now has become pretty much as being a Boris Johnson lookalike.
Yeah.
And everyone else was enjoying themselves. I was in a full suit and a wig and helmet doing skateboard tricks in the park.
Are you good at skateboarding?
No, I haven't skateboarded for like 20 years in shoes.
You used to skateboard though.
Yeah, on the island. Oh, I didn't really skateboard, I just went downhill.
Okay. I'm terrible at it. I can't even stand on a skateboard.
Well, I had to do that and do skateboard tricks and then do parkour with some sort of half ninja man when it was 35 degrees. But, you know, it's work, isn't it?
It is work. It is work. And it's what Boris is doing, so you need to be able to do it.
Every time I do something stupid, Boris Johnson, who, for the people who don't know, is the Mayor of London. If you look him up on Google, you can see me. It's basically me with a long wig.
He's that seemingly sort of mentally subnormal man who accepted the flag at the Beijing Olympics at the end.
He is going to be the Prime Minister of England purely on Columbo rules, which is acting like you're stupid so yeah. Everyone thinks you're not a threat.
Yeah, yeah. He's I, Claudius.
Yeah.
He's very clever. Yeah. No, he is, isn't he? Or I think he might hold on to the being mayor because actually Mayor of London will become more powerful than the Prime Minister.
All I hope is that he carries on for a while because it's basically funding my life at the moment.
All right.
And I can be in the biopic of it.
Do you think your sketches are helping his public image or hindering him?
Probably helping.
Right. All right. Well, we watched a movie this week.
Yes, so we should explain this is our summer block of movies. We're doing just one film a week. Which we're covering, just a shorter podcast. Oh, you've done that, haven't you?
I've done that.
We watched Tim and Eric's Billion Dollar Movie.
Now, had you heard of Tim and Eric before?
Well, my experience with Tim and Eric is someone said to me before, oh, you'll love Tim and Eric.
Yeah.
And I watched one sketch on the internet, and I think it was a bad one.
Okay.
And I just thought, who are these people? I hate them. And never watched anything else since. And I thought that. So my expectations watching this, when you suggested it, I thought, oh no, it's going to be some really, I just thought it'd be some really camp, annoying sort of comedy.
No. But a bit of a history of Tim and Eric before we talk about the movie. They are a sketch, basically, double act. They made their own sketches online, is where they started, on timanderic.com, and then they got picked up by Adult Swim, which is the Cartoon Network's evening slot for adults. So it's actually produced some absolutely brilliant shows. If you've never seen Venture Brothers, track that down. It's one of my favourite things of all time.
I haven't seen it.
Brilliant. It's a cartoon. We won't get into it now, but Venture Brothers, track that down. But Tim and Eric did a thing called Tim and Eric.
Awesome Show.
Awesome Show, Great Job, or Good Job.
Yeah.
Which is a sketch show. And then they got the movie off the back of that. That's the short version. There's other things in between. But Tim and Eric Billion Dollar Movie is about the two of them having been given $1 billion by a big movie executive to make a film. They completely screw it up and then have to go and try and raise $1 billion, which to pay them back before these guys kill them. And so they see an advert for a shopping mall on TV that Will Ferrell runs, and he says you could earn $1 billion by running his shopping mall, and that's basically it.
But that itself explains that it's stupid.
It is, and it's incredibly stupid.
It's having a pop at everything to do with film.
Yes, yes. Basically, it's at times quite a tense and uncomfortable watch because you're not really spoon-fed anything. You've sort of got to do the work yourself. Because every single convention of this beat of a movie is subverted. So it's absolutely, actually underneath it all, a trad movie, but every single thing is subverted along the way.
You don't realise how... What this film is great for watching is you don't realise how much of the language in cinema you take for granted.
Yes.
Because they hold shots, they put the wrong shots in places, they have looks that go wrong. All the beats are sort of changed and warped. You think,
yeah, they're still recognisable though, as being like, this is the bit where they have a heart to heart and their friendship is reunited, but it isn't. That's not what you're watching, but you know that is what that bit.
It takes a piss of everything to do with film, of film adverts, of... I absolutely love this film. I've always brilliant. But is an ex. I talked with a friend about expectations. My expectations were so low,
right?
I thought this was going to be awful, and I looked at my IMDb, and it's got like a 4.9.
Oh yeah, it's easily explained because it clearly isn't for everyone. Like
it's very niche, and yeah. I think because of having done this podcast, and probably the people listening to this podcast having to go to the cinema every week or watching, you know, 3 or 4 films a week,
yeah.
You can get filmed out. So if you're that person who's, you know,
yeah, yeah,
it was the perfect antidote for me, and I thought
to the last Airbender,
to the last Airbender, and the succession of superhero films I keep slagging off. I laughed out loud. I was surprised. You never know what's going to happen because they will just mess around with every single convention, and they're both really, really funny.
And they've got a great supporting cast. I've mentioned Will Ferrell already. John C. Reilly, who is a long-time collaborator with them, he does a character called Steve Brule on their, which was a separate show, actually. They're all online, but Dr. Steve Brule is a fantastic character, but he plays just a sort of really, really ill man who's been brought up by wolves in the shopping mall.
Yeah.
In this, I can't remember his name even.
I can't remember what it was. But they essentially, they don't give a shit.
Yeah.
They just go up on a story and push it and push it and push it. I mean, the story doesn't really matter at all. It's sort of about jokes.
Well, neither do the characters. Like, the characters sort of, the film treats them like they're the good guys all the way through and you're supposed to be rooting for them. But they do some of the most horrible things. And he just steals a man's son because he wants it.
That is brilliant. They're really funny, but there are moments when I thought it was... I'm not a big fan of crude humour. Yeah, you'd be surprised.
Mm.
But I thought it was too crude at some points. Mm. And when they get it wrong, it sort of goes really wrong in places. Some of the jokes sort of misfire quite badly, but when they get it right,
yes,
it's a hit.
I mean, the gag rate is really high, even though they're not, you know, traditional gags, I guess. But it feels sort of like the postmodern equivalent of Airplane. Do you know what I mean?
Yes,
where it's that silly and that is its goal, pure and simple. I mean, I personally found it... I laughed a lot, but I did find it quite uncomfortable watching at times. And that's probably just because of the lack of coherent narrative or anything. I like watching characters and I like watch, and you have to sort of abandon that because you're not going to get it. But
I think that's a good point actually, but I watched this, I watched like 45 minutes of it with my girlfriend, then we're like, oh, should we stop it there?
Yeah.
And I think it's almost like a TV episode.
Mm.
Because you after a while, that's the thing with comedy, how you translate comedy onto the big screen.
Yeah,
maybe it's better to watch it in two sort of batches. I do think that might work.
Their film at the beginning with Johnny Depp, who turns out they got the wrong guy, and they just got a Johnny Depp lookalike to play Mr. Diamond.
Have you watched much of their stuff before?
I've watched a bit. I've mostly watched Steve Brule sketches because somebody else has put me onto them. They're in those, but that's mostly John C. Reilly. it's that thing of a lot of Adult Swim stuff and American sketches. For our American listeners, you probably appreciate how frustrating this is. American comedy has gotten really good online at blocking its content from other countries.
I tried to watch
we can't watch any Colbert Report or The Daily Show or anything Amy Poehler's ever done or Tim and Eric or any of these. You know,
it's like
all
being
of the
in
stuff,
North Korea.
It is a bit like being in North Korea. We have fantastic military parades.
Yeah, we're very efficient parades. Society, but we cannot actually consume any other culture.
No, we're not allowed to. It would blow our tiny little North Korean minds.
Maybe they're saying something really subversive in these Tim and Eric films that undermined our whole government and social structure.
Maybe. If only we had our eyes opened. If only the British were a little more cynical. That's what we need.
Yeah.
Yes, but Tim and Eric, billion-dollar movie. I mean, I think inevitably it is not going to be for everyone who, mm-hmm. not even everyone who listens to this podcast. I think a lot of people won't like it.
I loved it, and I think it's very niche.
I think you have to have consumed a lot of movies and consumed a lot of comedy to enjoy the fact they're deviating from those normal paths.
I just thought it was really refreshing. I'm giving it 10 Mareks.
Really?
10. Because I thought, you know what? I thought maybe give it a 9. I thought, no, they've got balls.
Yeah.
I'll give him 10. Well done, Tim and Eric. I'm a converted massive fan. And although it wasn't successful all the way through, I think it was great to see a comedy like this. There's nothing else like it.
I should mention as well, it's got Peck from Ghostbusters in it, who's the best bad guy ever.
Oh, of course, yes,
He's the henchman. Is,
that's why I recognise him from.
He's the guy who closes down the containment field in the Ghostbusters and releases all of the ghosts. He's the best evil 80s guy ever.
He's a good evil 80s. He's got such an evil face. Yeah.
I like the idea of getting to make your own movie so you fill it with everyone who you loved watching when you were younger. We'd totally do that. It's got One Jeff day. Goldblum in it as well,
yeah.
Hasn't it?
What's his name? He's spelt wrong. Anyway, you just watch it. It's on Netflix, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Track it down.
How many David are you going to give it?
7.5, I think.
Okay.
I think it's, you know, I think I would have benefited from watching it in 2 instalments like you did. I think I would have. It's quite exhausting watching. It's like, it's nothing like this, but also it is. If you've ever seen Tim Vine's full show.
One-liners. Yeah,
I love it, but it's exhausting.
That's when I first started doing stand-up, I did one-liners.
Right.
And you went and did all these competitions. Basically, when you start up on the British stamp circuit, you get known by doing lots of open spot competition, which are 5-minute sets,
yeah.
And you get an agent through that. So I just do one-liners, so you've got more, a lot of a laugh rate. Suddenly you start to do 20-minute paid slots. After 10, 11 minutes.
It's exhausting.
Yeah, it didn't work so well.
Didn't work.
In real trouble.
You have to lower your gag rate.
Well, it's a separate story. That's for the comedy podcast.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's someone's kindly sent in a 1-minute review.
Excellent. What's it for and who's it from?
It's from Lee Wood and it's about Man of Steel.
Let's have a listen.
Hi David and Marek, I'm Lee Wood. I do a podcast on psychiccast.com for video games, so if anyone wants to listen to that, go there. But I thought I'd do a quick review of the Man of Steel film. I can't really review it much without spoiling everything, but quickly, the best part of the film is the first 20 minutes where you're on Krypton with Jor-El. Russell Crowe is absolutely amazing as Jor-El, and the action is non-stop and great. The film then kind of loses his pace and becomes very slow with Superman just wandering the earth trying to find out who he is. And I think the actors they've got in there are so underused, it's unbelievable. Having Lawrence Fishburne and Kevin Costner in there for 5 minutes each just makes no sense. And the end of the film, the last 30 minutes, it just dragged on for a long, long time. It just seemed to be one big massive fight that just kept on going and going and going. For me, the film is alright, it's average. So I would give it 5 Lees.
Boop! Clever, good plug there for your own show.
Well done.
Well, that's it for this week's podcast.
Yes,
think?
Yes, that is. That's all we've got time for. If you'd like to get in touch about something, and we will get on your emails in September. But if you'd like to get in touch, then do email us, dearfilmfandango@gmail.com. Or you can Facebook us, /filmfandango, tweet us at filmfandango. Or if you'd like to help contribute to the running of the podcast so that we can keep it going, then go to filmfandango.co.uk. We will be back next week. Keep watching the films.
Yes, and thank you very much for the people donated. We really, really appreciate it. Really,
you're the best out. People.
All right. Bye. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.